So today we're reading from Canto 10, chapter 8, texts 33 and 34. This is verse 33, which is not on the board. Upon hearing this from Krishna's playmates, Mother Yashoda, who was always full of anxiety for Krishna's welfare, picked Krishna up with her hands to look into his mouth and chastise him. Her eyes fearful, she spoke to her son as follows. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Dear Krishna, why are you so restless that you have eaten dirt in a solitary place? This complaint has been lodged against you by all your playmates, including your elder brother Balaram. How is this? Purport. Mother Yashoda was agitated by Krishna's restless misbehavior. Her house was full of sweetmeats. Why then should the restless boy eat dirt in a solitary place? Krishna replied, My dear mother, they have plotted together and lodged a complaint against me so that you will punish me. My elder brother Balaram has joined them. Actually, I have not done this. Take my words as true. Do not be angry and chastise me. Kasman madam madantatman bhavan bakshitavan rahaha vedanti tavaka yeti kumaraste grajopyayam. Dear Krishna, why are you so restless that you have eaten dirt in a solitary place? This complaint has been lodged against you by all your playmates, including your elder brother Balaram. How is this? Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So many thanks for the opportunity to speak. It was at short notice again, but at least I got about 15 hours notice, so I could do a bit of research. And congratulations to everyone, those that were taking part in the Christmas marathon. Oops, Prabhupada marathon. Lovely, the kirtan was full of energy, I could feel it. It's like that, people do the yajna. Then Krishna gives spiritual energy. It's a time of austerity. And then from that austerity, we get a reciprocation from the Lord. It's been a while since I've seen most of you, so it's nice to see so many faces again. I was missing the Sadhu Sangha. Part of the reason was I was also doing my own marathon, but it was not a book marathon, unfortunately. Just taking advantage of the spirit of giving. So, chapter is all about Mother Yashoda seeing the universal form within Krishna's mouth. Actually, it's not all about that, but the second half is. Now, the position of Mother Yashoda is very exalted. There's one verse in the 10th canto, Namam Varinsho Nabhavo Nashriyarapyanga Sangshraya Prasadam Lebire Gopi Yat Tat Prapa Vimuktadat. That Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and even the Goddess of Fortune have not received the same mercy that Mother Yashoda has received. In this verse, she's referred to as Gopi. Yat tat prapa vimuktidat. From Krishna, who is vimuktida, which means giver of liberation. Yes. Vimukti means liberation, and da means the giver. Now, the word Yashoda, what does that mean? Da means giver, and Yasha, fame, yes. So that's the meaning of Yashoda. She gives fame to the residents of Vrindavan. Actually, Radharani's mother is called Kirtida, which has the same meaning, giver of fame. And actually, Rupa Goswami explains that Radharani, she's known as Kirtida Kirti Dayani, one of the 108 names of Radharani, which means she gives fame to Kirtida. So Radharani has to win, right? It's always the situation. Radharani always wins. But actually, Mother Yashoda, she's considered to be the perfect example of the love that was taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramya kachirupasana brajabadu vargena ya kalpita. Mahaprabhu taught that the highest form of worship is the gopis' worship for Krishna. For many years, I used to think this statement was referring to the gopis in conjugal rasa, but actually it also refers to those in maternal rasa, vatsalya rasa. So Mother Yashoda is the perfect example of this. And this is explained in chapter 6 of the 10th canto. So we should try and enter into the deep pastimes involving Krishna and Mother Yashoda, which involves yoga maya. Yoga maya is necessary for this pastime to be relishable for Mother Yashoda and for Krishna. For example, we have the statement Adanta Atman. Who remembers what that means? We read it out a minute ago, word for word. Adanta Atman. What does Danta mean? It means teeth, but it means something else. Adanta Gobir Vishatam Tamishram. Those who are uncontrolled, Adanta Gobi, Vishatam Tamishram, they enter into the hellish regions, Prahlad Maharaj says. So Adanta means uncontrolled. Atma means like a person. It's translated as you restless boy. So here's a little Sanskrit lesson. Why does the word end in Atman and not just Atma? Normally we see the word Atma, but today it's Atman. Who can tell me? It's vocative. She's calling, she's actually speaking to her son, saying, oh, restless one. But it's translated as, you restless boy. So, of course, Krishna's not restless. He's controlled his senses. He's the perfect brahmachari. Does anyone know the story of one time, the gopis, they wanted to feed Durvasa Muni? And in order to do so, they had to cross the Yamuna. So they went to Krishna. Krishna said, if you say, Krishna is the perfect brahmachari, you'll be able to cross the river. And the gopis laughed. Oh, Krishna, brahmachari. Of course he's not a brahmachari. He's dancing with us. So they went to the Yamuna and they said, Krishna is a brahmachari. And the water parted and they crossed. Because of course, although Krishna is engaged in all kinds of activities, he's ultimately Atmarama. He's very peaceful. In fact, Bhishma, who was a great brahmachari, he deferred to Krishna. He said, look, I'm a brahmachari, but I'm not dancing with women. If I were dancing with women, I wouldn't be a brahmachari either. You see? So Krishna, he's so perfect in his vows of brahmacharya that he can engage in all this conjugal rasa, but still remain controlled. So he's very controlled. So Adanta Atman is just pastime. Mother Yashoda thinks he's an ordinary child and he's uncontrolled. In order that the pastime can take place. It's also said in the previous verse, Baya Sambranta. She's feeling fear. This is another, the fear is caused by yoga maya. It said, Neha Bikramo Nashosti Pratyavaya Chavijati Svalpam Apyasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahato Bayat. If we engage in devotional service, even a little advancement can protect us from the most dangerous type of fear. So if we practice devotional service, we become fearless. Krishna, he's fearless. All his devotees are ultimately fearless, and they can step on the heads of their enemies, as is said in the 10th canto, because they move around in this world fearlessly. But due to the influence of yoga maya, Yashoda is thinking, I'm very afraid. In order for that to take place, she has to think of Krishna as an ordinary child. So fear, we have fear in the material world. In the 11th canto, it said, Bayam dvatiya bhavaneshatasyad ishadapetasya viparyayo smritihi. Fear ultimately comes from thinking of duality. If we have a dualistic conception of life, then we experience fear. If we understand Krishna as Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo, the Lord of everything, then where is the fear? If you know that your friend has created this universe, where's the fear? Your best friend has created something and is looking after you. Where's the question of fear? Goptrit ve varanam tata. Atmak, was it? Rakshishatiti Vishvaso. Surrender means to think Krishna will maintain me, Krishna will protect me. Now, when the forest fire was engulfing Krishna and his cowherd friends, they were experiencing fear. But our acharyas explain the reason for that fear. It wasn't fear for their own bodies. They were fearful that if we die, who will serve Krishna? Very elevated. Who can have that level of detachment? You see, so fear, there's fear in the material world due to duality. Then there's fearlessness when one has transcendental knowledge. And then there's transcendental fear when, by the influence of yoga maya, one thinks Krishna is an ordinary child. So in Vatsalya Ras, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained, there is Palaka Gyan, the devotee thinks I am the maintainer, and Krishna Palya Gyan, Krishna is the object of protection. This makes the Rasa very nice. This is how Mother Yashoda is thinking. So actually fear, in this world, fear is simultaneously pleasurable and painful. A lot of people thrive on fear, isn't it? You heard of the phrase, the adrenaline junkie. Some people, they love adrenaline. Some people, they like to jump off cliffs and fly in the air in little suits with wings. And they have a parachute. And then when they get close to the ground, they pull the parachute. And hopefully they do it before they smash into the ground. And sometimes they don't. Because apparently 1% of people who engage in the sport die from doing it. But it's a risk worth taking because you get the adrenaline of flying through the air. I remember when I was a student. Student means madness, right? The police would quite often come round to the student flats and tell us to shut up because there was all these drinking late night parties going on. I had a friend. We lived on a third story. And there was two windows in the lounge. And they were about maybe 5 feet apart or something. He decided he was going to climb out one window and climb in the other. And I was thinking, this is a terrible idea. So as he started doing it, I was saying, stop, stop. But he was carrying on. And finally, it got so intense for me that he shouted with such force to stop. And he just kind of froze. He just couldn't do it because I told him to stop. Then he climbed back out the window onto our side, and we just kind of laughed in ecstasy. It's like we were going from one extreme to the other. It was extreme fear, and then it was extreme happiness. And he did it several times. It was crazy, but I always remember it. So it reminds me of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the place where the fear is very intense, like when Krishna's in danger, but then the ecstasy that you get as well. So it's simultaneous fear and ecstasy. But in the spiritual world, the fear is perfect. It's one of the secondary rasas. So it's perfect. In the material world, it's a mixture of both. I mean, I remember I used to practice karate. I used to go into competitions. So it's a crazy thing to do because it's dangerous. And you feel a lot of fear. I wouldn't sleep the night before sometimes and go into the competition, be very nervous. Because sometimes, you know, bad things would happen to people. Like, I remember one of my friends, he got kicked in the nose and his nose was dislocated. So then the instructor said, do you want me to fix it? And he said, yes. So then two people pinned him to the wall and the instructor came and he took his nose and he pushed down and realigned the bones. On another occasion, someone punched someone in the jaw and actually fractured their jaw. So these things happen. Once I got broken ribs from doing it as well. And I didn't realize at the time. I was a brown belt at the time, wasn't so experienced, and I fought this black belt in a competition. And he was better than me. I don't think he was trying 100%. But then somehow or other, I managed this kick, and I kind of caught him with a kick, and it was a bit of a surprise for him. So then I was going to get a point for it, but then he kind of buckled down, and he pretended that I'd hit him too low. I didn't realize at the time, but I figured out later. Because the referees, they kind of discussed, and he decided to give me a warning instead of giving me a point. So then he lined up again, and then he gave me a little wink. And I couldn't really figure out what was going on at the time. Then I realized later he was just acting, so he didn't want to lose the point. But then he started trying really hard. So then he started doing these roundhouse kicks on me, and I started kind of getting knocked from one side of the mat to the other. And at the time it was kind of really I didn't know how to defend myself because I wasn't strong enough. But anyway, I found out a few days later because I was struggling to breathe. So I went to the doctor and then they did an x-ray and discovered I'd broken my rib. Anyway, it's fun and games. On another occasion, I hit someone and they came off the ground, but he was a better fighter than me as well. So then when he got up, he then carried on the fight, and then he punched me in the stomach so hard that I went down, and I was thinking to myself, I'm going to die here, because I was desperate for breath and I was just couldn't breathe. After about a minute, I managed to sort of start to breathe again. And then he came up to me, shook my hand and smiled to me because he kind of got the better of me. But I look back on it and it's like, it's rasa. It's like, there's like a chivalry rasa there, and it's the fear is there, but there's fear and it's also ecstasy at the same time. And when you add the element of danger, then it becomes even more exciting. So if you want a peaceful existence, don't become Krishna conscious. Because in Vrindavan, this is what happens. Krishna is always putting his devotees through all kinds of intense emotional experiences. Now, this pastime has its parallel in Chaitanya Leela. Remember that Nimai, he once started eating dirt. Remember this pastime? And his mother got very upset. And she said, "Why are you eating dirt?" And then he said, "Dirt is just dirt. And when you give me sweet meat, that's also a transformation of dirt. So it's all dirt. Grains are dirt. Everything's dirt." So this, of course, is known as Mayavad philosophy. So Mother Yashoda, she then chastised Nimai. She said, "You know, if you eat dirt, when it's transformed into grains, it will nourish your body. But if you just eat dirt, you'll get sick." And she said, "If you take dirt in the form of a pot, it can hold water. But if you pour water on dirt, it won't hold the water." So the Nimai said, "Mother, why did you not tell me that earlier? Now I shall follow. Whenever next time I'm hungry, I shall only drink your breast milk." So Nimai, of course, he's wanted to teach us the dangers of Mayavad philosophy. That's why he actually gave this pastime. So the universal form has been discussed in this chapter. Now, it's actually explained by our acharyas that Mother Yashoda saw the universal form twice. Obviously, this is one of the pastimes. When was the other time? Anyone know? Which leela? I'll give you a clue. The leela is celebrated for 1 month every year. Yes, Damodarastika. Tvadiyo darayata vishvasya dhamni. The Lord's belly is the abode of the entire universe. You see? So when Mother Yashoda is trying to tie Krishna, she sees the universal form. I don't know exactly the explanation of this pastime, but it's indicated by this statement. Tvadiyo darayata vishvasya dhamni. His belly is the abode of the entire universe. So what is Mother Yashoda's view of the universal form? What's really funny, I was discussing Yoga Maya. The acharyas explain that after seeing the universal form, then Yoga Maya then covers Mother Yashoda, and she then sees Krishna. She forgets about the universal form. She just goes back to having Krishna as her child. Now, that's the tattva is that Yoga Maya is covering the universal form. But from Mother Yashoda's perspective, she sees it the opposite way. And it's explained later on in one of the purports. She explains that Prabhupada explains, Mother Yashoda's thinking, Yoga Maya has made me see this universal form. And now I'm back to reality. So Yoga Maya is so clever that those who are under the influence of Yoga Maya, they think reality is Yoga Maya and Yoga Maya is reality. Other way around. Of course, what is reality? Is Yoga Maya reality? What Yoga Maya arranges, is that reality? Well, according to Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, one of his purports to Brahma Sarita, we could argue that what we experience by Yoga Maya is actually reality because it's coming from the chit potency. The chit potency is the spiritual potency. It's not the illusory potency. Yaya samoita jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manate nartam tadkritam chabibhajati. Then the first canto is explained that through the influence of Mahamaya, we consider the body, which is composed of the three modes of material nature, to be ourself. Actually, it is simply anartha, and it is tatkrita. It is created by our bad activities. That's the illusion in the material world. But in the spiritual world, Yogamaya, we cannot say it's illusion in the same sense because it's part of the transcendental reality. Vejam vastava vatru astra shivadam. Vejam vastava atra vastu shivadam. Bhagavatam begins with a statement. Bhagavatam, we will study the vastava vastu. The word vastu means, anyone know? Don't say it means architecture. You know, when someone comes around to your house and starts analyzing and says, well, your toilet's in the wrong direction, we'll give you this little pyramid and that'll solve it all. That's vastu with a long A. Vastu just means a thing, an ontological existence, something that exists. So there are two types of vastus. There's illusory things, material world. It is avastava. This is an adjective. Avastava means a non-real reality. It's almost like an oxymoron, right? A non-real reality. And then there's the vastava vastu. That means the real reality. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about these two in the Jiva Dharma. But it originates from this verse from the first canto, the second verse. Vejam vastava atra vastu shivadam. So therefore, because transcendental world is vastava vastu, then it must be reality. Therefore, all the moods are reality. So it's said in the 10th canto, Rame Ramesho Braja Sundari Bir Yatarbaka Sva Pratibimba Vibrama. That Lord Krishna enjoyed with the gopis just like a boy plays with his shadow. So this is a nice analogy. It's in relation to, we can consider it in relation to the Brahma Sanghita. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabis Tabirya Eva Nijarupataya Kalabhi. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabi Kaliba Eva Nijarupataya Kalabhi. Gloka Eva Nivasatya Kilatmad Bhutam Govinda Maripurusham Tamaham Bhajami. That Krishna lives in Goloka Vrindavan, never leaves Vrindavan, and he's surrounded by his loving gopis who are expansions of his eternal ecstatic potency. And Nija Rupataya refers to Radharani, who resembles Krishna in form, Nija Rupataya. So because the gopis are emanations from Krishna's Shakti, therefore he has complete right to enjoy them. Therefore it's like a boy playing with a shadow. You would not criticize a boy playing with a shadow. You would not say, that's not your shadow. You don't touch. So therefore, you cannot say, Krishna, do not enjoy with the gopis, because he ultimately creates them out of his energy. Therefore it's said, Yatarbaka Sva Pratibimba Vibrama. He's just playing with a shadow. So why was I discussing this? Therefore, the feeling in Goloka Vrindavan of Parakiya Bhav, that Krishna is dancing with others' wives, that is simply not a criticism, because he ultimately creates the gopis out of his own internal potency. But that mood is real because it's not material, it's spiritual. And therefore everything that's spiritual is real. Therefore Yogamaya is real. The mood is real even though it's not real, if you get what I mean. So the universal form? The universal form is not the most pleasurable form for Mother Yashoda to see, right? She's happy to go back to seeing Krishna, the boy. The same happened with Arjuna. Arjuna, after seeing the universal form, he then tells Krishna, please show me your forearm form. He's had enough. Actually, he's asking to see the universal form for our benefit. Arjuna doesn't need to see the universal form, but he's asking for our benefit. And then Krishna shows him his forearm form, and then he shows his two-arm form. And what's the Sanskrit phrase? It's not dvibhuj. The Bhagavad. Saumyavapu is one of the phrases used, which means very beautiful. So the two-arm form of Krishna is very beautiful. So the beauty of Krishna is the prominent feature The opulences of Krishna, they're nice. However, Aishvarya Shatila Premi Nahi Mora Prita. When love is mixed with opulence, it does not ultimately satisfy Krishna. So Krishna, he likes to put his devotees in a more intimate relationship with him. So the Saumya Vapu is the form that Arjuna likes the most. And that's the highest form. It's said when Krishna entered the wrestling arena, so many people present, they saw him in different ways. Malana Mashani, the wrestlers saw him like the thunderbolt. Shishirada Gokulananda Ki Jai. Strinam Smaro Murtiman, the gopis or women saw him as Cupid. Gopanam Svajana, his friends saw him as one of them. Mrityu Bojapati, Kangsa saw him as death personified. And it said, Tattvam Param Yoginam, the yogis saw him as the absolute truth, Paratattva. And then Virad Avidusham, those who are less intelligent, Avidusham, they saw him as Virat, the Virat Rupa. So ultimately, this universal form is seen by the less intelligent. It's not the highest form. But it's very helpful and it's very exciting to read about these pastimes. Because if you notice, the Vrindavan pastimes are full of awe and reverence. It's there in different places. For example, it is said, Itam satam brahma sukhana bhuccha dasyam gatanam paradaivatena mayashritanam naradarakena sakam vrijahru krita punya punjaha. The cowherd friends performed unlimited sukriti, or accumulated unlimited sukriti to have the opportunity to play with Krishna, who is the ultimate deity for those in Dasharas, who is the impersonal Brahman for the Jnanis, and who is an ordinary child for those who are Maya Ashrita, who are in taking shelter of the illusory energy. So we see from this verse that although the section of the 10th canto, which deals with the Vrindavan pastimes, takes away the godly aspect of Krishna, still it is mentioned over and over again. Another example is the prayers of Lord Brahma. He says, Jananta eva janantu, kim bahukcha tame prabho, manasho, anyone know this verse? Manasho, vapasho, vaibhavam tava gocharam. Manasho, vapasho, vacho, vaibhavam tava gocharam. Lord Brahma says, let those that say they know Krishna say they know Krishna. But as far as I'm concerned, I will keep quiet because Krishna is beyond the range of my body, words, and mind. His opulence is tava gochara, vaibhavam tava gochara. Gochara means to come under the control of. So if something is indriya gochara, that means it can be conceived of by the senses. But the opulences of the Lord are beyond that. Therefore, Lord Brahma, who's the most intelligent, he cannot comprehend Krishna. Lord Brahma also says, aho bhagyam, nanda gopa brajaukasham, tanmitram paramanandam puna brahma sanatanam. How fortunate are the residents of Vrindavan that Krishna, who is para brahma and who is sanatan, he's the eternal supreme absolute, he has become the friend of the residents of Vrindavan. So this is very instructive that we can understand that the opulence of Krishna is spoken of over and over again, even in the Vrindavan pastimes. And it will stop us from becoming sahajas, right? Now, the glories of the Lord are under four categories. This is explained in the Krishna Sandarbha. Those categories are sweetness, mercy, wonderful pastimes, and there's one other one which I will remember in a minute. The one on sweetness, the example given is the gopis, they are always desiring the dust of Krishna's feet. This is a prayer that the Queens and Dwarka say. This indicates the very wonderful sweetness of the Lord. Also, that when the gopis are searching for Krishna, they're talking to the trees, and some of these verses indicate the great sweetness of the Lord. And on the topic of mercy, that the example is given is the mercy that Krishna gave Putana. As Putana's coming to kill Krishna, but he still gave her mercy and gave her the position of a nurse in the spiritual world. Now, the next one is the opulences of the Lord. Now, the example given is Lord Brahma, and when he was bewildered by Krishna, how Krishna expanded as so many calves and so many cowherd boys. This was the indication of the opulence of the Lord. So we see this pastime is very opulent. Also, it's not mentioned, but the pastime of Mother Yashoda seeing the universal form is also very opulent. But the perfect example is the example given where Krishna has so many Vishnu forms. Now notice in this pastime that the love the cows have for their calves is increasing, ever increasing. And the love that the parents have for their children is ever increasing. So Parikshit Maharaj asked this question, why is this? You know, the answer given is because the super soul is more attractive than the soul. The Sukadev Goswami gives the answer. He explains, the body is attractive because it gives pleasure to the senses. The senses are attractive because they give pleasure to the soul. But the soul is attractive because it gives pleasure to the super soul. Those that have pure love of God, they experience millions of times more attraction for the super soul than they do for themselves. This is the sign of spiritual advancement. Therefore, it's natural that the cows should become more attracted to the super soul, which has taken the form of the calf. Or the parents are more attracted to their son, who is the super soul. Krishna as a super soul has appeared exactly resembling their son. So I mentioned four glories: opulence, mercy, sweetness, and the fourth one, which I mentioned before, mercy. See, wonderful pastimes, thank you. Actually, wonderful pastime, this is where we get to Mother Yashoda. The example of the wonderful pastimes of the Lord is the discussion that took place after the killing of Kamsa, where it is explained that Mother Devaki and Vasudev, they never got to experience the childhood pastimes of the Lord. And those wonderful childhood pastimes, they are the perfect example of how Krishna's Leela is very, very wonderful. So these are some considerations. I'll say something about Christianity. I thought I would. It's the time of year. I receive these emails from a Bhakti Vikas Swami Sangha. There's a few interesting ones on Christianity came up recently. So one instance, Pushta Krishna asked Prabhupada, he said, we meet people on the street, they say they're Christians and Muslims, but they blaspheme Krishna. How should we understand this? So Prabhupada said, if they have real understanding of God, then when they hear about Krishna, they will be attracted. So you can understand that they are in illusion. They are not actually so spiritually advanced. It's easy to be a Christian, right? You just accept Jesus and carry on doing what you're doing. You don't have to follow the four regulative principles. This is the season of goodwill, but it's not the season of goodwill if you're a turkey. So Krishna Dharma on Facebook, he posted, Christ never considered Christmas to be about, was it? Or the Christians never considered Christmas to be about indulgence and meat eating. So this is what Christianity has become for some people. And it's a statistical fact that more children are born 9 months after Christmas than at any other time of year. So this is what's going on at Christmas time. People get drunk and all kinds of things happening. So this is complete opposite of what Christianity is supposed to be about. Now, Prabhupada, he explained that Christianity is Bhakti Yoga. So a lot of people are practicing Bhakti Yoga at this time of year. And the reason he said so was because they offer prayers. The Christians' prayers is considered Vandana. So there are nine processes of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanavedanam. So Vandanam, when the Christians, and also the Muslims, when they accept the supremacy of the Lord and they offer prayers, then that is devotional service. That is Bhakti Yoga, Prabhupada said. He also clarified, he said, however, it is impersonal. They don't have a very developed concept of the Lord, but it's still Bhakti Yoga. On another instance, he was talking about Christianity, and he said, they only have one book, and they only have one pastime, the crucifixion, and they don't understand the Bible so well. So his point was, you know, if you want to go deeper into spirituality, then the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, they have so many books. You can know so much about Krishna. And how can you love someone if you don't know them? You need to have a description. The more you know about a person, the more you can love them. Therefore, his attitude to Christianity, simultaneous respect, and also criticizing the hypocrisy of meat eating, and also recognizing that it's somewhat impersonal. But he often said, I did not come to convert Christians to Hindus. If I'd done so, they would have kicked on me. Instead, I said to them, this is universal science. You don't need to convert. If you're a perfect Christian, just be a perfect Christian. Be a perfect Muslim. Be a perfect Hindu. Prabhupada said this. So because he's taking us away from ethnic tradition and presenting universal spiritual science, he said, yes, you can do this. So one time there was a church for sale. Prabhupada went to the people and said, we would like to buy your church. We will keep Jesus on the altar. You know that? He said, we will keep Jesus on the altar. Which reminds me that at New Brindavan, they had this policy. On one occasion, Prabhupada wrote a letter to Kirtanananda, and he said, you should write a book on Kirtan in the Bible. The Bible is all about glorifying the Lord. So there's so much Sankirtan in the Bible. Like we say, hallowed be thy name, or praise be to the Lord. All these things, this is all Kirtan. I just read it yesterday, and I thought, what a great idea. Someone should do this. And then I discovered it's already been done. Hayagriva did it. Did he? Because there's a Back to Godhead article, and it's written by Hayagriva, and it's called Kirtan in the Bible. Christ and Krishna by Kirtan, yes. So, but Kirtan, Sankirtan in the Bible, I've not read it yet. I just copied it and stuck it on a Kindle because I get eye strain from reading directly from the computer. But I'm going to go through it and see all these verses, all these quotes from the Bible about Kirtan. Because ultimately, Yagyai Sankirtana Prayai Yajantihi Sumedasaha. And on the note of Kirtan, at 11:45, the minibus will be leaving to go to central London for what will hopefully be an ecstatic Harinam. It's my favourite Harinam of the year because Oxford Street is teeming with people, and so there's a lot of coverage, a lot of people see us, and you don't have to walk up and down Oxford Street because not only is it difficult because there's so many people, but you don't need to because everyone's walking past you anyway. So we usually stand along some shop front and just absorb ourselves in the holy name as hundreds of people walk past. And if you know, the pavement on Oxford Street is so wide that you know, have four or five people walking next to each other at any one time. So if you chant the Maha Mantra, you probably find about 50 people have already passed you for one mantra. So if you chant for 2 hours, it's going to work out at, you know, thousands of people see the Hare Krishnas, which is very nice. So we'll stop there. Thank you for your time. And any comments or questions or corrections? Hare Krishna.